This is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to The Inside Story. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so good to be with you. It's good to be sharing the good things of God, what He's teaching us from His Word. We're studying all this week the subject of faith, the faith that works. How do you develop the kind of faith that Scripture speaks about, the kind that moves mountains, the kind that stills storms, the kind that heals broken bodies? How do you fulfill the commission that says, go out and preach the gospel and heal the sick, expel evil spirits? How do you move into that realm of power? How do you develop the kind of faith that works? And Mark chapter 4 turns out to be a primer on the subject. It moves through a whole day of Jesus' teaching. He gives some parables, he gives some explanations, he gives some principles, and in a funny way it moves up to really what must be called a pop quiz. At the end of the day, they're going across the lake in a boat, the Sea of Galilee, and a storm comes up. Jesus stills the storm, but then he says to his disciples, "What's the matter with you? Don't you have any faith?" That's usually interpreted as Jesus saying, "Don't you have any faith that I would handle this on your behalf? Here I am in your midst. I'm going to take care of it." And I've been suggesting to you that in fact he was asking quite a different question. In fact, he was asking them, "Haven't you learned anything out of all the teaching that I've done, specifically this very day, all the teaching that I've done on the subject of faith? Have you no faith that you could have handled it? Not that I would handle it, but that you could handle it, that if you knew what faith was, if you had understood even the rudiments of what I've been teaching about this day, you could have stilled that storm yourself." This is a consistent thing in Jesus' teaching. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23, it says, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive it, and you will." Now, that's what I called the other day a logos word. It's a general word to everybody. Whoever believes in his heart, whatever you ask in prayer. But you see, you got to believe what he says. You got to believe what he is saying to you personally. It's not a matter of deciding what I want to happen, but it's a matter of discerning what God wants to happen and saying the same thing as. That's what the word confession means. Confess is to say the same thing as God says to me. So it's not a matter of deciding what I want. It's a matter of discerning what he wants and then saying the same thing as. But the principle we were looking at yesterday is one of exercising faith, using it and causing it to grow strong, just like we use the muscles of our body. Perhaps the very first time that you tried to do push-ups, or if you haven't done them for a long time, the very first time you try again to do push-ups, you can only do one or two. But stick with it. You'll be able to do 3 or 4, 5 or 6, 15, 25. Stick with it. Those muscles are going to grow strong. How do you develop the kind of faith that moves mountains? Well, let me suggest to you that you begin with moving molehills. How do you develop the kind of faith that stills hurricanes? You begin by stilling a very small summer storm. How do you develop the kind of faith that can pray effectively for the cure of cancer? Maybe you begin by praying for sniffles. Do you follow what I'm saying? You use the little bit that you've got and turn it into something much bigger. Use what you've been given. Use it or lose it. Well, we come to the final teaching of the chapter, and the final for this week. We're in Mark chapter 4, and picking up at verse 26. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed upon the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he knows not how. The earth produces of itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? What parable shall we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when grown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. He begins the teaching of the day with the parable of the sower, and he comes to the end of the day, and again he's teaching from an agricultural image. A sower goes out and sows seed upon the ground. But the principle is a little bit different. It's obviously related, but it's a little bit different than what he previously said. I'd suggest to you that what he's talking about in this final set of parables is simply letting God bring the increase. Letting God bring the increase. If the seed has been well planted, don't keep digging it up to see how it's doing. You dig that little tiny green shoot up out of the ground, and what's going to happen? You're going to kill it. Believe that God is at work in that seed. You can hardly see it. At first, if you see any change at all, it looks like the seed is dying. That's what Jesus said had to happen. Except a seed fall into the ground and die, it shall produce nothing. But if it die, it shall produce 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. He applied that to himself. He was the seed who had to die, and look at the fruit of that death as it reproduced many sons of glory. But we have God plant some seed in our life, whatever it might be, and we're so anxious about it. We keep taking our spiritual temperature. How am I doing? How am I doing? We check out ourselves, check out our progress. We say, I'm not doing very well. I haven't made any progress yet. What you're doing is you're digging up the little tiny sapling, the little tiny green shoot, before it even has a chance to set down any roots. It says, leave it alone. Leave it alone. The earth produces of itself. Not strictly. Strictly speaking, it's God who is causing the earth to produce of itself. But the point is, you don't need to fuss with it anymore. If that seed has been planted, if you've read it and you've heeded it, if you've been listening to what Jesus is saying to you personally and you speak what he says, not what somebody else says, not claiming some verse ripped out of context, irrespective of who it was addressed to and what were the conditions under which it applies, but a word that God speaks to you personally. If you speak what he says, if you develop the muscles of faith by starting small, by believing him for what you can believe him for, and exercising the muscles of faith so they begin to grow strong, then just relax. God will bring what he has planted in your life into fruition, and it will produce mightily. You know, when I was a youngster, we bought a new home, and we went out into the backyard, which had been allowed to become completely overgrown. It was just a tangle of weeds and small plants and just all sorts of thorns and everything else were growing throughout this backyard. We didn't even know what we had out there. And my father and I went out and we began to clear the land and chop all this stuff down and burn it and get rid of it. And out in the middle of the backyard, we didn't even know it was there, there was a tremendous boulder. This was up in Connecticut, and folks who live in that area told us that it was a boulder that had been brought down in the Ice Age, one of the glaciers that had come through and deposited that boulder in the middle of our backyard. We didn't know it was there until we cleared away the mess to find it. And growing up out of the boulder was a little tiny green shoot, and I was about to chop it off with all of the other garbage that we were chopping down, and my father said, wait. That's an oak. And I said, an oak? That little tiny thing? He said, oh yeah, that's an oak. Leave it alone. And so we left it alone. I wondered how in the world it had gotten there. The crack in the boulder was so tiny, I have no idea how the acorn got in there, but somehow it got in. And in that unlikely, most unlikely place, it was taking root and beginning to grow. Well, that was probably 30 years ago now. If you were to go back to that same property, you know what you'd find in the middle of the backyard? Where there was a boulder, you'd find crushed rock, little pieces of stone left over from it. And in the middle of where that boulder was is one of the mightiest oak trees that I have ever laid eyes on. It's all twisted, gnarled. It's not very pretty to look at. But I got to tell you, that is one strong tree. Why? Because contained within the acorn was the life that God had placed in it. And when it took root, even in that most unlikely of places, left to itself, it grew strong and powerful to the point of splitting apart boulders. I think that that's what Jesus is saying. What parable shall we use for the kingdom of God? Well, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which is one of the tiniest seeds of any growing plant. When it's sown upon the ground, it's the smallest of all the seeds on earth, he says. And yet when it becomes sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all the shrubs, puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. You know, Jesus uses the same image, doesn't he? If you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be moved into the sea. How does the grain of mustard seed move a mountain into the sea? Well, I've just told you, by being itself. When it puts down its roots far enough, when it grows up gnarled enough, powerful enough, it begins to split apart that mountain, just like that little oak shoot split apart the boulder, and pieces of that mountain are going to fall into the sea. Leave it alone. Trust God for the increase. You know, what we've got to do is turn our attention upon the Lord himself and not worry so much about how we're doing. If you will heed the principles of this chapter of Scripture, they will revolutionize your life. It is guaranteed, because the manufacturer gave his own guarantee on the subject. Read the Word of God and heed it. Plant the Word in the soil of your life. Then you speak what God speaks to you. As he quickens an individual word, a particular specific word to you, you say it, you proclaim it, you claim it, and it's yours. Use the muscles of your faith and develop them so they get stronger and stronger. Start with a molehill and then take on a mountain. And then trust God for the increase. Let him take what he's planted in your life and in his time, bring it into fruition. And then the next time you face a storm, perhaps Jesus will not have to look at you and say, what's the matter? Don't you have any faith? Because you will have learned the secret of speaking peace into the midst of that frenzy and being victorious in the midst of that storm. And that's the inside story.